What if you knew that the evolution of the human species is accelerating right now, and that you have a vital role to play? And what if you learned how to create a big, bright, beautiful, sexy, abundant life and heal the world all in the same motion? This is The Evolutionary, accelerating personal evolution and inciting global transformation to propel us into the age of miracles. Hello and welcome to The Evolutionary. My name is David Knox and I am still your host. Today we have with us Mariah Miller. For nearly 20 years, Mariah Miller has helped people create a career path and direction in life that they love and that is aligned with their purpose. She is a human design practitioner, board certified coach, and certified heart math trainer and coach with signature programs like Career on Purpose and methods like human design, BG5, and heart math. She has helped thousands of individuals feel better about their lives. And what could be better than that? Mariah, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, David. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And great to talk to you again. We had an introductory call last week and I really enjoyed the conversation. So I was looking very much forward to talking to you again.
Good. Me too. Yes.
And you're in Santa Cruz, California.
I'm in beautiful Santa Cruz. Yes.
Beautiful Santa Cruz. Do you live downtown or like off Scott Valley or?
No, I live about a mile of the beach, away from the beach. So I get to have these little ocean peaks from my window. If you stand in the right spot, you can see the ocean. Don't move. Right, exactly. It's lovely, though.
If you go to sell your house, you can say ocean views, right?
Exactly.
from the upstairs bathroom window.
Exactly. Yeah. Just stand right here on the X, you know.
This is the spot. Pay me more money.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So listen, first question, what gets you out of bed in the morning? What are you excited about? What are you working on?
Big, big question.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's delve in deep. All right. What really gets me out of bed in the morning is supporting people living a life that they love aligned with their purpose. How's that?
That's pretty good reason to get out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than most.
Yeah. Oh, it works for me. It's definitely what gets me excited. And what I'm working on is, I'm a coach and I work with individual people, but I also have programs where I take people each month through a different focus using a model called human design. And it is my, I would say deepest joy to really see people reconnect with themselves in a way where they can really see themselves. Because very often, my experience is that many people in our lives, we get to experience these things that closes off. You know, we start to kind of collapse because we get hurt in different ways and we start to believe certain things about ourselves, which inform certain thoughts, which inform certain behaviors and habits. And before we know it, our life has kind of closed down around us. And we may not even be aware of how much it has closed around us until we bump into ourselves in certain ways and we recognize, this is not me. I want more freedom.
Yeah.
And it's through that journey that eventually when people come to me and talk about their human design, they get to see themselves in ways that they haven't seen themselves for a very, very long time. So that initial reconnection is just so beautiful to watch. And then it's, okay, now how do you put that in action? Because those beliefs have those ingrained behaviors that you keep bumping into yourselves, and those are beautiful moments of learning.
Yeah.
So that's what I work on.
So that must be quite a moment of quickening when someone starts to realize how much they have shut down. Because, you know, we've all gone through this if you've lived any life, right? And it seems that the shutdown is so slow that you don't notice it, right? And all of a sudden you wake up one day and, you know, this is a classic story, right? And you're just like, what happened to my life? And so you get to help like lead people out of it, right?
Yes. And I want to be clear that this is not therapy where we really go into the thick of the story, because my personal experience too is that if you focus too much on the trauma, you're only reliving the trauma. Mm-hmm. It's more that, again, human design is such a great way in recognizing the gifts, the specialness that you are here to bring into the world. And then to see those places where you can follow your own flow, follow your own energy in a different way that then provides new openings, new opportunities. You start to trust yourself, your own intuition in a different way.
Yeah. And what you were saying before, part of that is because we shift our focus off of the past and who we used to be. And I've gone through this recently in the last couple of years is my story, my historical story. Yeah. It's important to understand and come to terms with it. Right. But the more we tell it and identify with it, the more it hooks into us and we can't really actually be our full divine present self.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I love what you're saying. I just went to Wisdom 2.0, the conference, which was phenomenal. And one of the presenters there was Byron Katie. Yeah. I don't know if you know her. Yes, she's so amazing. And she talks about that over and over. It's, you know, who are you without your story? Yeah. Which is so true.
Yeah. It was a very freeing exercise about 2 years ago to have a good hard look at it and go, I wanted somehow for my success to be somehow bolstered by holding it in comparison with my story, you know, where I came from. And, you know, frankly, mine it's not remarkable compared to a lot of people, right? But everyone overcomes their challenges, right? And so, but then I realized that trying to hold on to that story to make my success seem better was just tethering me to the story. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing what you're doing then at that point is you're sticking to those same perspectives, which are going to bring in the same opportunities because you're just simply not seeing the other things that are out there. And so you're just exacerbating those same behaviors, creating environments that just do the same thing, keeping you in place.
Yeah.
Making you feel more and more stuck. So
And it's happening to people all around us. And so it doesn't seem unusual, right? But just because it's normal doesn't mean it's good or healthy or you know, the thing that we want to do in our life, right?
Well, I think what is really important to recognize is our feelings. You know, our feelings give us the clues to whether we're on track or not. And when you start feeling really confined in your life, it obviously means that there's something not right. And then it's not about making something or someone else wrong. It's about where in myself can I open up that space for more? Where can I start following my flow again? And, you know, there's so many different tools, and I happen to use human design as one of them, a big one. The other one that I use big time is heart math. Mm-hmm. So those are, in my experience, great tools to use with that. But it takes courage, and it takes a certain vulnerability to dare to look inside of yourself and say, okay, maybe it's not the outside world making me this. Maybe I have some part of you know, my own responsibility in how I want to see, be for the rest of my life, right?
Right. And then we actually get to live.
I know. And that can be exciting, a little scary, but also very, very cool.
Well, yeah. And that's, of course, what people use to keep themselves in the box, right? In their little sphere. Yeah. Yeah. Is the fear of like what it might be like on the outside because it's unknown.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, I want to talk about, this is a bit of an aside, but not really. For people who are going to listen to this episode that don't know what human design is, I would like to, because it's fun, I would like to talk a little bit about the inception of human design, its origins, right? With Ra Uruhu and that crazy story. Right. I mean, it's really fun. And what's really fun to me about it is, and you can, I'll let you tell it. I assume you know it better than I do. But what's fun to me about it is there's this amazing, incredible, like supernatural story. And then the output of it is this thing that freaking works, right? That is just dead on every time. And so, you know, it gives the story, you know, that much more credibility. So anyway, do you want to kind of give us a gist of the quick, you know, five minute version of whatever, 5-2, whatever.
5 minute. Wow. That's five, pretty
two,
good.
20, whatever you want to do.
Sure. Absolutely. So, about 25 years ago by now, this man, he came to know himself as Ra Uruhu. That wasn't his name. But he had been very successful as an advertisement salesperson and got so disillusioned by the whole situation that he moved to this tiny little island in Spain, Ibiza, and lived by himself in the ruins of an old house. And the only room that was still standing was this tiny little room that had like one door. It didn't have electricity. It didn't have running water. He had an oil lamp, but he was so poor that he did not even have money to purchase oil. So just to give you an idea, and he had this dog that was pretty much wild, which just kind of kept him company. Mm-hmm. And one evening it was dark and he and his dog came home. And what he saw was there was light underneath his door, which again was very curious because no electricity, no money for the kerosene for his oil lamp. So he was a little apprehensive and his dog was growling. And so he opened the door, and the thing that he can recognize or remember was that he saw the oil lamp lit and swinging. He took one step inside the door and collapsed. And what happened was that for 8 days and 8 nights, this, what he called the voice, took over and said, write this down, listen and write this down. And the voice started to dictate all, basically the whole workings of the universe to him. And he wrote it all down. After this experience, of course, he was very shaken. After this experience, he started to create these diagrams that we now are calling human design and started to do readings for people, which were amazing. People got a lot out of them, but he got so, it was a real big process for him. Someone who was not religious at all, did not have any interest in spirituality, to be taken over and have this download by this other worldly being, as he calls it, or called it, he's passed since then. So he got really overwhelmed and said, I want to burn it all. And so he told all his friends that he had done readings for to bring their charts, and they had, you know, he burned it all as a big bonfire, and it was gone except for one person. And she held on to it. And a couple of years after that, she came back to him and said, listen, you got to do something with this. You have to write this down because this is so important. And that is how it got started.
And then he taught until
his passing. Right? Yeah, about 5 years ago. Yeah.
And I've watched an interview with him, and he didn't, he never had prepared material when he went and taught. It was just all there.
Yes.
And like, even he thought it was genius, but he didn't like say it was my genius. It was just genius coming through him.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, human design is still relatively young and it's still unfolding. It's still going, you know, it's still evolving.
How does that work? You know, that gives me a little bit of apprehension because of what humans have done with a lot of other things that came in a pure form and then later on kind of, you know, massage them into stuff that sometimes was good and sometimes was bad.
Sure. So
what does that process look like now?
So I totally hear what you say. And my point of view would be that you have to keep in mind the channel that this came through. Okay. So the person who received this information, Ra Uruhu, who I very much admire and also recognize that he was a human being, fallible as everybody else is, had a particular way of bringing that information that could be conceived as shocking, mm-hmm. in a certain way. I've studied with a number of different teachers who have their own, I call them flavors, you know, their own experience in how they express the information. And one of those flavors is from Chetan Parkin, who I feel has really infused more of the compassion, the love, the caring into human design. And that is really how I am using human design with my clients. Because yes, you can, you know, just to give you an idea, human design, you can look at all the places how you're supposed to be and where you're not showing up as you should be, right? Mm-hmm. And we call that the not self. And there can be a perspective that you're pretty much living out your not self, and every once in a while you get a glimpse of who you truly are. Or my belief is you can be invited to get to know your true self and start to follow your energy and how that works more, so that you get to experience yourself more and more as that. And then you can recognize yourself sometimes in how you're not showing up, but it's the more to focus on the who you truly are versus the you're not showing up. Does that make sense?
It does. And I was writing about this the other day, where I was realizing that over the last few years, you know, well, I mean, I've been at this for 30 years trying to make this better, this up in here. Yeah.
Yes, I get it.
But in the last few years, I started to realize that I just saw a glimpse of something, and it sounds exactly like what you're talking about, where I'm starting to, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, or make any claims, right? But I'm starting to identify more with my higher self and with my lower self. And that was a powerful moment when I kind of realized that, oh, I actually, my identity is shifting to that higher state, that more loving, caring, compassionate, confident person, right?
Right, exactly. And how beautiful that there can be this really complex diagram that can show all of that.
Yeah.
That can show the who you are here to be in this lifetime to truly help shift the world into the best way of being for everybody if you show up as you.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just say one other thing for people who haven't heard of human design, and then you can expound on this. I tell people that human design is astrology on steroids. It's way more specific and useful. And that's pretty much, honestly, that's really most of what I know about it. I've had my chart read for me a few years ago. I dated a woman who was somewhat into it. But I haven't really been into it much since then, and I can't say much more about it. So maybe you can kind of shine a light on that.
Yeah. So human design is a synthesis of a number of different wisdom systems. And one of them is astrology. One of them is the chakra system, the Kabbalah, the I Ching. Our DNA is infused in it. So there's a lot of different wisdom systems that have come together that are no longer the original wisdom system. So even though astrology is infused in it, it is no longer astrology. And, you know, I do find astrology incredibly helpful. And, you know, I think different people have different resonances. And for me, my resonance is human design. It's just so insightful, because it not only tells you your gifts, your strengths, it tells you how you attract things to you, how your energy flows best. And again, you attract certain opportunities or perspectives to you, but then also how you can recognize your own intuition. Because so often we get sidetracked because we're either taking the decision too quickly, or we're just waiting too long because we're just not sure. And what a gift it is to be able to learn to trust yourself, so that best you can flow out of that.
Right. And your confidence goes up, and your ability to execute on this plane in any facet goes up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And so let's tie this into, I love the terminology that you use here, that you coach people on, something called a career escape. right? And by the way, it's absolutely like spreading like wildfire, this idea that, and I just came out of it where I'm in the corporate grind, or I'm working for, you know, a publicly held company, and therefore, what am I doing? Well, I'm creating 1%. I'm creating shareholder value for the 1%.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or I'm part of the system. I'm a cog in the wheel of the system that's failing and killing the planet and all that stuff. So people are just like, they're just like waking up and trying to wiggle out of this and find a way onto, you know, into a different space with their feet on the ground. And so can you talk about how this ties into career escape?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, career escape is the previous term. I have renamed it career on purpose, because that's truly what's calling, right? Career escape is what you're trying to get rid of.
Yes, love that. Uh-huh.
And so career on purpose is really what I'm working on with people. Yes, so career escape for me, because of course it always comes from something that you're growing out yourself.
Yeah.
It came at a time, and I'm talking about 1998. At that time, my then husband and I were sitting on the couch. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was raining. The lottery was up for, you know, millions of dollars. And we were just having this conversation. What will we do if we win the lottery? Because here we found ourselves. We had a 3-car garage, big house. We had the 3 cars. We had a young daughter. We both had good jobs. Like, okay, well, what's wrong with us? Why aren't we feeling happy? You know, that inner.
Uh-huh.
And so with that whole conversation, well, what would we do if we win the lottery? The first thing that came up for both of us was, oh, we'd love to travel. And so we grabbed this big map of the world, and we started to pin in the countries where we would like to visit. And of course, we didn't win the lottery, but how could we travel without that? So this was the beginning of the housing boom. So we sold our house and we took our then 6 months, or by that time she was a year and a half, took our daughter, and we went traveling for almost a year. We went to Central South America. We took her to Europe, to Egypt. Her second birthday was spent in front of the pyramids.
Oh, wow.
So we had a really amazing, amazing trip, looking for our purpose. Didn't find our purpose, neither one of us.
Had fun, but no purpose.
Exactly. Yeah, it was fantastic, but no purpose. Came back, and there was this, at that time, new magazine called Oprah's Magazine.
Oh.
And right, it was new at that time.
New.
Right, and I opened it up, and there was this article about this new profession called life coaching. And it was one of those light bulb moments. And it was, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for all my life, and it actually has a name, you know?
Yeah.
I just happen to be the kind of person that people come to and tell their situation, and somehow I have some great question or not, but at least they tend to feel better afterwards.
Right.
And oh my gosh, there was something like that. So that started my journey, and this is 2000, into coaching, into life coaching. So that's where my inner, like, searching for my purpose in my career, and then recognizing with the clients that I worked with that a lot of them were having the same issue. And so that's where career escape or career on purpose came out of.
I like the rebranding, by the way, stating it in the positive, focusing on where we're going, not where we've been.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly. That's a shift I had to make last fall too, as I was coming out of it, like, drop that story. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Find something that has meaning. But in there, in that interim since then, and now, you spent 10 years with HeartMath, is that right? As a the director of coaching.
I did. Well, I worked at HeartMath initially in different positions, but the last 5 years I was the director of coaching of the HeartMath Coach Mentor Program. Yes. Yeah. And that was fabulous on so many different levels. First of all, the team at HeartMath is just amazing. I don't know if people know what HeartMath is. HeartMath is a system of tools and technology that helps people connect with their inner balance and bring back a sense of balance that can actually be technologically shown through through a device where you can actually see heart rate variability. You see your heart connect with your brain, and a certain pattern evolves that creates an inner state of just calm and balance. Mm. And they've used that in so many different fields, ranging from education to the military, the police, as well as individuals, the health market. So many different people in so many different fields having so many amazing results. And the staff at HeartMath themselves practices what they preach, which creates an environment that is just very heart-based. Mm-hmm. So people are kind, people are real, people are compassionate.
Beautiful.
It's been, a great experience.
Yeah, and if anyone is listening and haven't heard of HeartMath, it's an amazing nonprofit organization that really studies. They started out with just heart rate variability, right? Which is the change from beat to beat in your heart rate. And they've realized that if you map that out and it's a jagged line, that's a problem. That's incoherence, where your heart and your mind are not together. They're not in sync. And if that line, high heart rate variability is good, right? That's one of those measures of kind of your biological age. If you have low heart rate variability, that's not healthy. You need to be able to switch up your heartbeat a lot, but it's the smoothness of the flow.
Correct. When
you graph that out, that signifies coherence between the heart and brain.
Correct. Yes. It's the smoothness of the curves. Yeah.
Yeah. And you teach, and so HeartMath, in terms of their facing the public, I mean, they do a lot of research, right? But in terms of their face to the public, what they teach is tools and techniques for how to get your heart and your mind into sync.
Heart, brain, and breath. Correct. Yes. Okay. How to get them all aligned. Because when you create that internal synchronization between heart, brain, and breath, the whole body entrains. So your hormone system, your immune system, your digestive system, all our inner systems, instead of it individually trying to vie for your energy in order to, be as quote unquote effective as possible, is less effective than when everything is in sync. If everything is entrained, the energy is used so much more effectively. And so you feel that instead of that internal tension that's kind of creating chaos, now you're getting everything is just in sync and balanced. I mean, I've talked with people, and there is this great experience that I had. And I'm not a baseball player, but I happened to talk with this, kicker from a football. I'm not a sports person, obviously. This kicker from this.
I couldn't tell.
from this football team. And he was explaining to me that when he gets on the field, he has to be in highest focus, because he's only out there for just a very brief amount of time, but he has to be really, really on. And what happens is that one half of the field, or one half of the people there, are cheering him on, and the other half are yelling and throwing things. And he has to be totally, totally focused in order to do his best work. So the way that he practices is that he uses that technology that HeartMath has to be able to bring yourself into that coherent state, that more balanced state. Then he has the music, rap music, blasting loud at him. And he has his teammates come in and throw things at him and yell at him and curse him out. And try to stay in the highest challenge level with the highest potential or possible wave. It's just amazing. I had to laugh so hard when he told me that story, and he's just beaming as he was telling me that.
Fun. Phenomenal. You think about it. It's when you think about the human body, right? We always think that we're an individual, right? And so, there's nested. There's scaling here. We're nested in the human race, right? We're in that consciousness, and in the consciousness of the planet and the solar system, and so on and so on, and whoever, who knows whatever else. But also within us, we are 50 to 70 trillion cells and a bunch of different systems, yes, right? That are all have their own needs and their own job to do. And so when we feel disintegrated, right? Yeah. Or when we feel divided, or when we feel torn in different ways, we are. We literally are. And so I think that there's tremendous value in learning how to get like your own house in order so that you can act as a single being. That is something that I don't hear talked about a whole lot, is the challenge for a human being to act as a single being. Because we all go through, yes, that, you know, on a daily basis. We're like, oh, I want to eat that. Oh, no, I need to drink that. No, I want to go to bed. No, I'm, you know, I'm happy. I'm hungry. I'm horny. I don't know. I need to nap.
Right.
Right. I mean, we're all over the place because there's a lot of different pressures from within. And then you go out to the world, right? And then from without,
exactly,
it's the same amount. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and again, going back to human design, because this is how the two of them marry for me. It's, you know, you are your individual person, and heart math helps with very practical tools to bring your own balance internally. And we're not just individuals sitting on a mountaintop, right? We're constantly interacting with other people. Not just that, we also have the outer planets giving certain experiences onto our path. Right. There is certain pulls and pushes that we get that way. So how are we with that? So human design can show you how you interact and how you best interact with other people, which I've always find fascinating. And then again, back to heart math, even in the midst of those interactions with other people, you can bring yourself into your state of balance so that you are more aware and you are coming from your highest possible place when you're interacting with other people. But yeah, I often say to people, you know, as you said, we have so many different needs and so many different thoughts. And I know for sure that if you would only have to do this one thing, you would be really, really good at that. You'd be a star. You'd be an expert. The thing is that, guess what? Life just throws us too many things, right?
Right.
We get so many different advices and so many different inner pressures in how we think we're supposed to be. It's a gift to be able to get to recognize the who and what you're really here to do, and to recognize how your energy truly flows best, so that then all this becomes easier. You don't have to figure it out so much. You can just kind of be more and flow with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And what a privilege, but also an accomplishment that you get to help people do this for a living.
I am so honored and grateful to do this. Truly, truly. It's, I am really loving my path. I'm really blessed.
That's awesome. So the people that you help, they have stuff to overcome, right? They have the roadblocks. What are the most common ones that you see, and how do you help them get past that?
So I think I already spoke to this, that we tend to not see or dare to see our greatness. Or we tend to put it in a way that's not, that makes it not the best expression. So for instance, in human design, there is this one part that says that you, that's called new beginnings. And people who have that one part that has new beginnings, they're great at starting new things. They're always starting new things,
yeah,
but they're not completing them. And you know how bad you can make yourself when you tell yourself, I never complete anything.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my clients was in the process of, you know, starting new things, had her business, and was really upset about the fact that she was always starting new things, never completing anything, and felt very chaotic in what to focus on, until we had that conversation and she actually started crying. Oh my gosh, you mean I don't have to feel bad about not completing anything? I'm like, yes, that's not your job. You just need to find someone who you can shift this to so that you can hand this over, make sure you benefit, right? I'm starting this, I want to have a part of this, but you're the one who is going to finish it. And so she got her team to take that over from her. And the freedom with which she was able to evolve her business was amazing.
That's beautiful. Like just recognizing her, what is her strength? What is she good at, right? And then getting help for that with the other things.
Exactly. Instead of turning it around and making yourself bad for not being something.
Right. And then creating the story.
Yes.
That I don't follow through on things.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then living that out and then beating ourselves over. It's a terrible, right?
Exactly.
Cycle to be in. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that I see happens a lot. And then to be able to recognize your strengths so that you can truly live those out more and more.
Yeah.
Instead of that other story.
Yeah. So yeah. What was one of your biggest roadblocks? because you've had some transitions in your life, right? Some big ones.
Oh, God, I guess. No. I guess just like anybody. So I would say for me, so I was going through that same kind of thing, which oh wonder, I get to help other people with the recognizing those parts of me. For me, what happened, I was going through a divorce and definitely one of the hardest periods in my life, recognizing that my life was just not going into the direction that I thought, had always thought that I was, you know, going to be married to this person for the rest of my life. And this is how my family was going to evolve. And all of a sudden it was the recognition like, wait, this is not it. The same thing of that identity, all of a sudden, like, who am I? So I had a human design reading, which really showed me all those parts of me that I hadn't dared seeing. And that was great. And it was beautiful. And I just put everything aside because guess what? I had to take care of two young daughters, and I had to find a place to live. And, you know, we lived on our savings. So I had to find a job because even though I had been a coach, when you're going through big life things and you're self-employed, it tends to affect everything in your life, including your business. So my business went down and I had to find a job, which sounded much easier than it was. It took me a long time to find something, and I got really desperate because I got to the point of my very last rent was my very last little bit of savings. And thank God I had a friend who said, hey, listen, if it comes to that, I have a bedroom and you can stay there with your girls, and I've got peanut butter and bread and, you know, sandwiches. You can go ahead with that. It did luckily not get to that, because at that point I was at the very end of my, you know, my wit's end, pulling all of my coaching tools together, including finally the practical wisdom of human design. So not only like, what are you good at, but really how do you use your intuition and such. And that made a tremendous shift, because the moment that I started applying all of that together, I found a job. Within a month, I got a 20% raise. Within 3 months, I became the director of that department. So I got a raise on top of that, right?
And this is with Heart Math.
No, this was before Heart Math.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I met another man who, after 2 months, you know, short, but we became engaged. And after 10 months, we got married. And that's 15 years ago now.
Wow, congratulations.
So. Yeah. So it was just showing me the universe really grabbing me, like, okay, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. You're going to have to walk your talk. Right? Giving you all these tools, use them, do something with them. And then all of a sudden, all these amazing things happened. And it was just so clear. And that actually eventually did bring me to Heart Math, because now I knew how to follow my energy. And it's been just, you know, step by step. It's not always easy, of course, you know, life throws me things too, but I start to recognize it sooner. It's like, you know, the universe can knock and then it starts to hit and then it's just a slam. It's like, when are you recognizing it?
Yeah.
And I'm knocking on wood, tending to recognize things a little bit sooner than I might have in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I have a few more questions for you. We've gone over our target, which is fine. It's a great conversation. One of them is human design can look daunting. Like you get the chart and it's got all the things and it's just, yeah, it's complete hieroglyphics, right?
Yes.
And that can be a turnoff for some people, which is, I think, one of the real reasons why you really need to have an expert in human design to work with if you want to leverage that tool. So how do you kind of help people get past that and distill down that complexity into something that's useful for them?
Yes. So this is a really good question because I've been playing with this for a long time. Certain people are really attracted to human design because of all the different systems and they just want to delve in and there's that rabbit hole and you can just go on. And I love that. I'm one of those human design geeks. And it can be incredibly overwhelming. You know, you can see the chart and I'm like, well, that's too much. And yes, a human design practitioner can definitely help you get a really good overview of yourself. There are many different classes, and when I started teaching human design, I really wanted to teach human design classes to help people really get a good understanding of their chart. And I fell into the same trap where I felt, oh, you need to understand it all in order to understand your chart. And I don't believe that that's necessary. So what I do now is there's two things. I have an annual program where people can sign up month to month because every month has its own focus. So the first month, January, is about vision. The second month is about relationships. The third month is all about letting things go. It's like spring cleaning and on and on and on. And what we do is I take coaching tools with information with their human design and we really practically apply it so they get a real specific focus and it becomes much more handleable. So that's one thing. Another thing that I'm working on, again, to make human design really practically applicable for people is a card deck where people can use the different cards, like an oracle,
yeah,
to be able to understand if they really want to, they can really use it and understand their own chart, or they can just use it for their own, let their own intuition choose what's the best wisdom for that particular day, month, you know, sure, whatever focus. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So for people who are listening, who are on the precipice, you know, they're on the cusp, they're maybe trying to get out of the mainstream or get out of some career and get into something that has purpose and heart. What advice can you give them about how to find their next best step?
Yeah. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. And when I say that, the question that I often get is, well, how do you know what your heart is saying? You know, there's so much going on. The mind can get really in there and can really get confusing. When you hear that message that is clean and clear, that is your heart pulling you forward. That is your purpose calling you. Those moments where you feel the goosebumps, the moments where something just suddenly turns on in you, that's the moment that your purpose or the universe says, pay attention, this is for you.
Follow that.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, there's so many different tools out there. Human design can be a fabulous one. Other people may use different ones. Again, the universe will also show you with that, which one is the right one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting, and I have I spent a long time. I kind of got sucked into the mainstream in my 20s and 30s, and started coming out in my 40s from that. And so I have a lot of a broad base of friends who are still kind of in that mainstream space. And something that I tell them often about the heart is, when I say heart, we're not talking about some romantic, fanciful thing,
no,
you know, that, but it's actually the thing beating in your chest, and the neural network within and around that is an amazing sensory organ. And it's connected into the universal mind. So in its instant, it doesn't need any time to react. Like, it just knows. Right. And,
okay.
I remember watching Roland McCrae. Do you know Roland McCrae?
Of course, yes.
Of course you do. I love watching him talk. He's a great speaker. He's got that kind of Southern accent. He's talking about the fact that there's more neural connectivity going up than going down. There's more afferent nerves going from the heart to the brain. So there's more information going to the brain from the heart than the other way around. And that's because it's an amazing sensing organ, right?
Right. And there's this electromagnetic field that sends out from the heart all around us that picks up on so many things that you may not be aware of. I mean, we've all had these experiences where you walk into a room and there are two people, they're not paying attention to each other, and you just know they just had a fight. You know, you can cut the tension, right? You can feel it.
Right.
There is these things that you pick up on because of that electromagnetic field that's between people, it's between people and animals, it's between people and the world, our atmosphere, that we can sense. You know, certain people are very sensitive to earthquakes or things like that happening. There's so much more wisdom there that we tend to override with our brain, and our brain is great for gathering information. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to knock the brain at all. It's great for gathering information, but it's not where our truth lies. You know, our heart is really, as you said, that's that center of where we are in interaction with the rest of the world. And when we pick up on those messages, that is my experience and my understanding, guides us on the rest of our path.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's been my experience that learning to recognize the feeling in the heart, the instant one, right? That's the process of getting in touch with your intuition.
Yeah.
Like, what was your first response? Did it come from that third and fourth chakra region? And whatever that was, go with that, and you'll start to find it's never wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So yeah. What's next for you in your transformational journey?
First of all, powerful question.
Yeah, just a little question, because we're among friends here.
Right. You know, just let me take that one in.
Fairly private.
Right. So my personal inner growth edge right now is fully stepping into my boldness. I have been working with human design. I've been working as a coach for quite a while now, close to 20 years, and it's been a really great journey. And I've been kind of holding myself back, because, you know, who am I to have a voice amongst the many people out there who may have more information than I do?
I don't know anything about that.
right. And so my current inner edge is all about stepping into my boldness and being vulnerable with that. So I guess thank you for that opportunity to be vulnerable sharing that with the world.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I think it's important to be vulnerable, especially in a role like yours. And because I think I was talking about this with someone just the other day, that one of the things that helped me step out of the middle of the stream, out of the corporate grind, out and to share my message with the world, was the idea that everybody has a message, and they need to hear it in a certain way, right? Yes. There is a market for you. Whatever you want to do, there's a market for you. So the biggest thing for me was that the reason I'm qualified to do this is because I've failed so many times in so many ways and tried so many different things that I'm absolutely qualified to help people live better lives, because I can relate. In whatever way they've failed, I've probably failed that way lots of times, right?
Right. And you can tell people how not to do things.
And made adjustments. And at least I can, you know, be their sounding board to kind of figure out, you know, which direction that they can go. And you have that as well, as and some great tools to work with.
Absolutely. And I think the greatest tool for people is to learn to rely on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
on their own intuition, their own self-reliance. Mm. I think people have so much more, just like you. I think we all have had our own experiences where we recognize, oh, maybe it doesn't go quite as well as I anticipated. And as you say, those are really great moments to then recognize that and learn to experience and express that with other people. And
find a different way.
Right? Yeah, right.
Cool. Well, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to know more
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they can go to my website. It's connectingnewdots.com.
Cool.
So connectingnewdots.com, and they can request their free human design chart. And when you do that, I will send you not only your chart, you also get access to a couple of little videos about your type and about something in how your relationships can maybe flow a little easier in certain places. Yes, so connecting new dots.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mariah. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's been really fun, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, David, for having me. It's been tremendous fun.
Thanks.
Thanks again.
If you'd like to learn more about The Evolutionary, you can check us out at theevolutionary.life. That's right, .life, .com is so last season. It's theevolutionary.life. Check it out. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button, and I'll talk to you next time.